baby. We are right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Thursday edition. And before you bet right here on the Covers YouTube channel, make sure you smash that subscribe button right down there. A lot to get into tonight. A beautiful looking board in the NBA. John Mettler and myself have six total bets across the NBA. And I will be joined by Jingles and David Sanchez. They'll be ripping through some of their favorite props for the weekend, as well as touching on some of the hottest topics in the NFL heading into conference championship weekend. Guys, if you want to be a part of the show, it is very easy. Just hit up that live chat. Let us know what some of your best bets are for the NBA tonight, for the NFL this weekend. Weigh in on some of the topics that we will be discussing. If a few of them catch my eye, I will read them off live here on YouTube.com. You can become famous. This can become your 15 minutes of fame right here on the Covers YouTube channel. Make sure you hit that subscribe and the like button right down there if you are watching right now. Okay, let's get into it. We're going to lead off with the picks like we usually do. So it is the NBA. We bring in our guy, John Mettler. We call him the Ass Man around here. John, how you doing?
Good, how are you? Got a couple different props for you today.
Absolutely. A good mix here, but we got to touch on the topic of the day, or the topic of the 24-hour news cycle here in the NBA. A big coaching change here with the Milwaukee Bucks. Adrian Griffin is out a couple months into the job. Doc Rivers is in. Now, there's a couple ways you can look at this. On one hand, it's pretty easy to pick apart. They just hired Griffin a few months ago after firing the coach that led them to an NBA Finals victory a few years ago. And they're bringing in Doc Rivers, who, let's call it what it is, he's the biggest choker in the history of coaching in the NBA. I mean, no need to sugarcoat it. That's what it is. But on the other hand, who knows what was going on behind closed doors? So maybe good on them. Maybe in a lot of situations like this, the team would say, hey, we're going to look idiotic if we fire this guy, so we're not going to do it. And they hang on to the coach and they end up failing as a result of that. So maybe some props to the Bucks a little bit. But ultimately what I think this is Milwaukee bending over for Giannis. It came out that Giannis had no interest in bringing Nick Nurse in as a head coach. He's having a lot of success with the Philadelphia 76ers right now. Either way, it's kind of messy. So what are your thoughts on this mess here with the Bucks coaching situation?
Yeah, I'm honestly kind of not surprised. I was surprised when he was fired. I'm not surprised that it wasn't necessarily working. I think there was kind of like a lot of indicators of that earlier in the offseason. I remember even like back in like August, September, he was like the favorite for coach of the year. And I was just like, well, I don't think he should be the favorite at all. I mean, they hired Griffin before they did the Lillard trade, right? So like even right there, that was kind of something that was a little bit off. Like he wasn't planning on having Lillard, who knows, like with his systems and all that stuff. And then also like Terry Stotts was his, one of his lead assistants, and he resigned before the season even started. That was kind of like a huge red flag, especially for someone who coached Lillard in Portland. I feel like there was just a lot leading up to it. And then there's also kind of, I remember like the beginning weeks of the season, you know, Brooke Lopez almost won defensive player of the year. And a lot of that was to do with, he was really good at the drop coverage and protecting the rim, and Griffin changed their defensive style. And he wasn't even allowing Lopez to play what he, like the defensive style he excelled at. So I think that kind of rubbed the players along. Right. There's just like a lot that happened. And I just really saying a lot here, but with the, even back in preseason, I remember watching a Bucks game and the announcer saying like Griffin basically told everyone, like, I waited 15, 20 years for this opportunity. It's like basically my way or the highway. I think that might have caught up to him a little bit here. So
yeah,
I don't think it had anything to do with the record or 30-13, all the stuff, you know. I think there was, it just wasn't working personality wise. That's my guess. I don't know for sure. I'm sure we're going to get a story here pretty soon, right?
Yeah, I'm sure things will start to trickle out here a little bit. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens with Doc Rivers stepping in, if he can kind of get over the hump in the playoffs. How great would a Bucks 76ers showdown be in the the NBA playoffs? You know, I think those teams will line up to play. So hopefully we get to see that. Okay, let's get into what the people are here for. The picks for tonight. I'm going to start off with one of the bigger games in the NBA. We have the Boston Celtics in Miami taking on the Heat. Ho, 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 ho. Give me the underdog. Give me the Miami Heat. Come on now, people. Have we learned nothing from this rivalry? What are we doing here? Miami is 8-2 against the spread in their last 10 matchups with the Boston Celtics. And this is what the Heat do. I picked the Memphis Grizzlies to cover the spread in Miami last night. They won outright. Miami plays down to the competition. They do not take the regular season seriously. And then they snap out of it for big games. They play up to the competition. They throw people off the scent because they have looked awful. And because of that, we're getting this monster spread here. The last time these teams played in Miami, it was a 2.5-point spread. Now it's an 8-point spread here. I think Miami's defense can keep this game from getting out of hand. They are top six in both opponent EFG percentage and points allowed per 100 possessions over the last 10 games. Check out the Celtics' offensive numbers in the second half. Very ugly over the past couple of weeks. Maybe a backdoor cover situation for the Heat. And the Heat pretty good as a big underdog here. They have been an outright winner in four straight as a home underdog of 5 or more points. So I like Miami to show up for this one. They were super flat against the Grizzlies last night. Maybe a bad loss like that can kind of snap them out of it a little bit. We see this from them all the time. It's a movie we've seen before. So I do expect them to show up and give the Celtics a good game tonight in Miami. Okay, over to John and over to a Michael Porter Jr. prop. What are we looking at?
Yeah, just to talk about your Heat Celtics, I was laughing because someone was saying when they traded for Terry Rozier, they're like, if Terry Rozier hits a shot to eliminate the Celtics out of playoffs, I'm going to lose it.
Yes.
But so I'm going Michael Porter Jr., 3+ made threes. So Michael Porter Jr., no secret, he is often shows up for like a good with a good value and stuff, but he's one of the most frustrating players to bet an over on. I don't think any if you've done it before, you would know. Just specifically to this matchup, you know, the Knicks, they're going to be out with Isaiah Hartenstein. He's questionable. You're already out with Mitchell Robinson. So Jericho Sims is going to start. He should be starting. He's going to be guarding Nikola Jokic. They're going to have to send a ton of help defense towards Nikola Jokic's way. Help defense means open threes for other players. I also think they're going to put Ananobi on Jamal Murray. So that size on Murray, that also means you're going to be smaller on the wing. So you're going to have the 6'10 Porter being guarded by Dante DiVincenzo. So on top of like open looks, he should be able to get his shot over top of DiVincenzo. Just think you're going to see a lot of 3-point attempts from Porter Jr. I liked his points prop as well. I just thought there was a bigger probability gap here with the threes made.
Okay, next up, let's go to my favorite of the night. It is the Minnesota Timberwolves coming in at -3.5 against the Brooklyn Nets. So this is a matchup between a great defense versus a bad offense. This is 5th in opponent EFG percentage versus 25th in EFG percentage over the last 10 games. T-Wolves, also one of the better three-point shooting teams over the last few weeks. Brooklyn is one of the worst, so significant edges for Minnesota on both ends of the court. Also, expect to see a lot of freebies here for the T-Wolves, and that's our 29th in opponent free throw attempt rate over the last 10 games. Dirty defense! T-Wolves are 6th in that category offensively. And yes, it is the second game of a back-to-back for Minnesota. They played and won in Washington against the Dinky Wizards, who also fired their coach there. But they've been pretty good in this spot here lately. Second game of a back-to-back. They had a 15-point win over the Grizzlies their last time out in this spot. They brought the Celtics to overtime in Boston in the second game of a back-to-back, one of the games of the year, and they had a 9-point win over the Lakers in a second game of a back-to-back. So I will take them to win by at least 4 points versus the Nets tonight. Okay, Sabonis, what do we got?
Yeah, I'm going under his assist prop, so under 8.5. It was at +105 this morning when I bet it. It's now -105, still a good number. For Sabonis, he had a stretch here, not the last game, but the three games before that, he had 36 assists in those three games, all double-digit. It pushes total up from 7.5 to 8.5. With the increased total and the heavy juice on the over, I really like the under just because of the matchup here with the Warriors. So his last game against the Warriors, he had 10 assists, which might kind of scare you away. But if you go back the two games prior to that they played the season, he went under this 8.5 total. And last year in the 7-game series they played in the playoffs, never went over the total 8.5. So for Sabonis, that was kind of not the norm that he got those 10 assists. I think the Warriors kind of got carried away. I went back and watched the film because I wanted to see. I was like, how do you get these 10 assists? I think they kind of got carried away with, you know, Sabonis isn't a great jump shooter. I think they wanted him to take that elbow jump shot and kind of like stop him from being that hub that he can be. But what they were doing was Kevon Looney was so far back. He was like just staying there. He had all the time in the world to look around the court and just find open cutters for shots and stuff. I think there's like the Warriors are going to try to find that middle ground of like, we need to put enough pressure on him that he can't do that. But we also still, we do want him to take those shots, but we can't just have him stand there like a quarterback in the pocket who has like 20 seconds to throw. That can't work either. And the Warriors lost that game that he had 10 assists. That's why I also think you will see those adjustments. The Warriors have been pretty good at beating up on the Kings, so they won't like that they lost that game. That's why I think you will see those adjustments. They won't. Sabonis is more dangerous as a hub than a scorer, so I think they'll try to make him more of a scorer.
Sabonis, yeah. I think I lean Kings first half in that game. I got to dig into that a little bit more. The Warriors have been an awful first half bet here over the past couple of weeks, but a bit of an unusual situation for them. They had a chunk of time off due to a very unfortunate situation with the assistant coach passing away. They did play last night, though. So I don't know, maybe a bit of a stay away for me on that one. But a first half bet that I do like very much, it is the Chicago Bulls +2.5 in LA versus the Lakers. This is a red hot spot for Chicago. 9-1. First half ATS tear for them. That's overall 8-2 ATS on the road in the first half. During that 10 game span, they are second in first half point margin in the NBA. You dig into the numbers here. Very impressive stuff for Chicago. Bulls are top five in both first half EFG and opponent EFG over the last 10 games. They do see a pretty clear drop-off in the second half, though. So that's why I do like them in the first. Lakers are around league average in each of those categories. And here's what I like about the Chicago defense. Great interior defense, and they limit free throws specific to the first half. They are first versus in points allowed in the paint. The Lakers are 25th in that category, so maybe some easy buckets here for Chicago. Chicago also great at limiting free throws, second in opponent free throw attempt rate in the first half. So I expect them to be competitive in the first half there in Los Angeles versus the Lakers. Okay, John, bring it home for us. Same game, Kobe White. What do you like for him?
Yeah, I'm going Kobe White over 21.5 points. Producer Mick was saying you guys saw him torch the Raptors firsthand. But I actually bet the Suns on the weekend to win the NBA Finals. So I've been watching a lot of Suns game, just kind of digging into those numbers and stuff. And the Bulls just played the Suns. And one thing that like popped is like Kobe White is playing. Like I knew he was playing really good, but like the Suns could not contain him at all. He was getting to wherever he wanted to on the floor. And once I saw who he's playing next, I was like, Los Angeles Lakers, let's go. Because they have the worst, not the worst, pretty much almost the worst. Austin Reeves is like in the one percentile for defensive EPM. So he's one of the worst guards in the NBA for defense. And then you combine that with D'Angelo Russell. They just won't. Kobe White's like so agile and quick. I don't even think there's like help defense that the Lakers can bring to help them against those matchups with Reeves and Russell. It's just gonna be like one quick move and a shot, one quick move and a shot for White. I just think he'll be able to get to wherever he wants to on the floor. This total is kind of high for White. You know, I mean, he's playing really good, 21.5. I just don't think the total has caught up to kind of the level where he's at. So although like his total is on the rise from, you know, 18.5, 19.5, 20, up to 21.5, I still think it should be higher. That's why I'm going over here. White's just, his game is evolving very quickly and he's and stuff. And I just don't think the projections total, all those things are kind of keeping up to that.
Yeah, hopefully he goes over that total in the first half to help the Bulls cover that number. Yeah, his play, it looks like Zach LaVine's expendable. That guy's been on the trade block for, it seems like, a year now. No movement. I saw a report that he's rumored to get the Pistons are apparently interested. How great would that be? Zach LaVine, you're hoping to go to a team like maybe the Lakers or the Heat or something like that, but you get traded to the Pistons. Imagine that, so.
I was dying. I saw someone's tweet below that because they were talking about they want like Jaden Ivey, Isaiah Thomson, like one of those young guys. And they're saying the Pistons have made them all untouchable. And they're like, the Pistons have more untouchable players than wins. I was like, oh, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, that's fair. Big win against the Hornets last night for them. So a credit to the Pistons as we continue to rally around that team. Okay, John, we're going to leave it at that. But a nice looking board in the NBA tomorrow as well. So we will welcome you back then. Hopefully we will be celebrating a winning day. And until then, best of luck with your bets, and we'll catch you tomorrow.
All right, I'll see you guys on Friday.
Yes, sir. Okay, let us keep on moving here in his traditional Thursday spot. We bring in our guy, Josh Ingles. We call him Jingles, the man with the sexiest smile in all of sports betting. There it is. He looks incredible. Probably the busiest guy here at Covers. He's all over the map here, all over, deep into the NHL. Major League Baseball is right around the corner. And, of course,
NFL. Turkish afternoon soccer.
Turkish afternoon soccer, ping pong, and North Korean ping pong, of course, too. He's a sharp in that sport. So we'll get him in and out here fairly quickly, but he has his eye on two props here for the KC Baltimore game. And let's start with something for Patrick Mahomes, a prop for him. What are we looking at here?
Yeah, let's take Patty. Second road game in the playoffs, under 24 and a half completions, minus 115. First, we have to look at these lines. So it's 24 and a half on the completions. It's 36 and a half on the attempts, which is applying like a 67% completion percentage versus Baltimore. I mean, that's his average on the year. And this is a guy who hasn't faced many good defenses. These lines together are implying that this is a way too efficient for what Patty Mahomes is going to do in this spot. Not only does he have the weather, we're talking rain, we're talking some wind, not a lot of wind, but the rain keeps, it looks like there's going to be more and more rain as the week goes on. We also have the issues that we saw with CJ Stroud and how impactful M&T Bank Stadium and the crowd was. Six false starts, a delay a game. There's that. I mean, this is a very good Baltimore defense. Marlon Humphreys could come back. And what we saw, I mean, Baltimore is going to run you down. Play volume is a big thing here. And we saw it last week. Mahomes only had 17 completions in that game. And a lot of it was Kansas City's defense not getting off the field, not creating a lot. He's not going to have that same efficiency that he had last week. So on that 24 and a half completions and that 36 and a half pass attempts, that's implying a lot of efficiency over a really big workload. And with them losing the time of possession last game, 23 minutes to 37, if it's anything like that, the difference between the Buffalo defense that basically was gutted versus his Baltimore defense is night and day. And we can't really expect that same situation. The rain's tough. Only two QBs have topped this number over Baltimore over 10 games, and only one has had over 25 completions in that 10-game stretch. So this is a big number. And with big players like Mahomes, you see saturated and inflated lines to the overs. And, I mean, you're an under guy here, Joe. You know where Indeed. To find a good under, and this is kind of the spot.
Yeah, looks like a good spot. So some breaking news here as of 7 minutes ago. The Panthers are hiring Buccaneers offensive coordinator David Canales as their new head coach. I don't have much of an opinion on that. I think Canales
the least efficient running game in all of football this year, yards per carry, 32nd. Yeah.
I remember seeing the guy and thinking, oh, there's a handsome looking young fella. So, I thought, with the way that owner likes to spend money, I thought that they would go after one of the big dogs that's available, but none of the big dogs probably have much interest in going to coach the Carolina Panthers. So who knows? Maybe it turns out to be all right. I know nothing about the guy, but yeah, the running game absolutely stunk, but he did get a lot out of Baker Mayfield. I guess you can give him some credit for that. Right.
And I wonder how progressive you can actually be in Todd Bowles' system. Like, I'm sure there was a reason they got really run heavy at the end of the year, like just despite even running terribly efficiency wise. So maybe he really didn't have, I don't know, the full array of things he could do in that offense.
Yeah, so we shall see. Maybe a good opportunity for Bryce Young to get a fresh start as well. I doubt he's as bad as he looked in his rookie season, right? So let's give him a little bit more time to develop with a new head coach here. Okay, prop bet number two, Justice Hill, I believe.
Is that correct? Justice Hill, over 31 and a half rushing yards, minus 112. It does seem a bit square, and these are always kind of letdown spots. Like, people will probably be jumping on Jahmyr Gibbs over receiving because of the production that we saw last week. But this is a modest number for a team that runs more than anybody in football, 50%. No other team even at 49%. So Baltimore runs a lot. This market opened 30 and a half. Pinnacle's at 33 and a half. So we could see this actually go higher. 57% of the snaps last week versus 34% for Gus Edwards, who kind of hurt his hand. Not a lot of talk about it in that fourth quarter. KC, I mean, so 13 carries for our man Justice Hill here for 66 yards. And what wasn't talked about again last week was Houston had the number one rush defense and success rate. Now he goes versus KC's number 28 in EPA per play. So that's saying versus success rate versus EPA per play, some bigger gains can be had versus this KC rush defense. And this is a spot where maybe people are looking at it was 20.5 last week, and I'm not really buying the 10-12 point jump. Justice Hill's rush yards, 31.5 in week 17. So it's kind of on par for what it was down the stretch, 5.3 yards per carry versus Gus Edwards, 4.0. And this is just a spot where there could be a lot of running. And if Casey can't get off the field, as we saw in Houston couldn't get off the field last week. I was holding CJ Stroud over attempts, and they just couldn't get third down stops. It was incredible. I think he only had 10 attempts in the second half. And that offense is just going to keep you on the field if it can go. And that rain is certainly going to help.
Quick follow-up. P. Postona in the chat asking, are these picks from the Blitz or your own analysis?
No. Blitz picks for this game. We're doing the video, but I'll drop them out here as I bring up Derek's numbers. They're right at my fingertips. Mahomes, under 4.5 carries, plus 112. Obviously, being a dog is a big part, and counting victory formation kneels is a big part in betting that market. And then Mecole Hardman, under 1.5 receptions, minus 115. It was plus 180 last week for a guy who ran 9 routes. Wow. And so he's still showing value on this, even all the way down to a 70-point swing in the market.
Okay, yeah. Looks like a couple of sharp plays to me there. So, Jingles, we'll wish you best of luck with that. But if you want more from our guy, tell them about where you can catch your NHL coverage. We're probably going to start introducing some NHL stuff into the show here post-Super Bowl.
Yeah, me and Carlo Koliakovo, former Leaf, we do our release every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 10 a.m., Twitter, YouTube. Promoting it a lot. We're out there doing things, starting to build a little community, a little place to go chat. Always nice where you can ask a former athlete, as we know with Sanchez here, just questions that the betting community has. So that's what we're doing with Carlo. And before we bring on Sanchez, I have to say, so Sanchez is the man in Canada when it comes to football coverage. Every time he's on the TV, I'm name dropping him with anybody that's around. I'm like, yeah, I talk to that guy sometimes. But I get a call from the guy pre-kickoff last week, and he calls me, and I'm so happy. Sanchez, what's up? And he opens his mouth. He goes, Dalton Schultz. And I knew immediately where we were going with this. Why is Dalton Schultz sitting at 33.5? But as a smart bettor, Sanchez knew that he wasn't smarter than the market, especially a Sunday market. That's the most efficient thing. So we're trying to figure out what's priced in and why it's in this situation. So just two guys talking about betting. Work it out. We find out that in this situation, there's some things that aren't priced in. We hit it. He had a drop. It could have been a bigger day for him eventually, but it was kind of a no sweat. So always nice to have people that you can talk to about betting logically. And the number one rule, don't think you're smarter than the market.
Yeah. Different perspectives are always great to bring into it, especially someone who's played in the game. So some good insights from you, some good insights to Davis, who we'll get to here in a second, but Jingles, thanks a lot for joining us. Best of luck with all those bets, and we'll catch you again next week on the show.
Appreciate it, Joe. Take care. Good luck.
Yes, sir. Okay, let's keep on moving here. Let's talk about the guy that we were just talking about, Davis Sanchez, in his traditional Thursday spot. He was nice enough to join us last Friday. Back here on his spot, though, on Thursday. Just got a nice spot, a nice shout-out from Jingles. Davis, how you making out?
I'm good. I like the Jingles best smile in sports betting. It's a little bit hurtful that you don't have anything like that for me, but I'm good.
You don't greet me like that, though. He comes on grinning just ear to ear. So maybe I'll think of something for you. But okay, a couple plays to discuss. But before we do, let's kick around a couple topics. So the debate of the day, or the debate of the week, whatever you want to call it in the NFL, it is the great Brock Purdy debate. A lot of people on one hand, they can't wait to say, I told you so. You saw Purdy come out kind of sloppy in that game against Green Bay. Everyone's getting on him, whether it's a casual or people in the media as well. My whole thing on Brock Purdy, I think he'd be judged a lot differently if he was a first round pick, like a top 10 pick in the NFL. I think a lot of people just look at him as that Mr. Irrelevant. And they're like, see, this is, you know, they don't expect much from him. Then when you don't get much from him, people want to pile on. Now, conversely, you have a guy like Trevor Lawrence, who isn't quite living up to being the first overall pick in the draft. If Trevor Lawrence was a six-round draft pick and people were looking at the quality of his play, I don't think anyone would have him as a top 15 quarterback in the NFL. So what do you think of that? Do you think Purdy still gets judged too much because of the fact that he was the last pick in the draft there.
Okay, so sorry, do you think that Brock Purdy's judged too harshly or not?
I think that they hold it against him. Like when Brock, like he doesn't fully get the credit when he's playing really good, but then when he has a bad game, like people do, Josh Allen has had bad games, Patrick Mahomes, Brock Purdy has a bad game or bad moments and people are like, see, this is why he was drafted so late in the draft. So I think people still hold that against him. Do you disagree?
I kind of do disagree. I mean, okay. I more feel like, I think, and we were messaging around joking earlier, Joe, but, you know, I say that both sides, it's such a polarizing conversation and both sides are idiotic. Like, take it for what it is. Like, if you watch that game and you think that Brock Purdy is now trash, that he's unable to get it done, see, I told you so, you're an idiot. And if you watch that game and think Brock Purdy got it done because he did it when it counted in the final minutes of the game, and he was better than Jordan Love and everything else you want to say about how great Brock Purdy was, I think you're also missing it. The fact is,
that's fair.
Brock Purdy had a terrible game. Was he good for the last 3 minutes? Yes, he was. And I even think, he was fortunate on some throws. Like that one to Jennings, what a great throw. I don't know if it's a great throw. I think he was fortunate that Jennings jumped, 11 feet in the air and caught it. But look, he did what he did. So, I mean, look, I can look at it clear and say, okay, Brock Purdy's, that's no lie. He's had an amazing season. He's a sixth round or a seventh round talent who has played amazing football. He stunk on Sunday, and the Niners won in spite of their quarterback. I mean, they're a double-digit favorite. They need a final drive at home. They need a final drive to win the game, mostly because of bad quarterback play. It is what it is, but it doesn't take away Brock Purdy's season. So I don't get. I think so many people were defending him, to be honest. And I was like, why are you guys defending him? He stunk. It doesn't take away how great he was this year. What a great story he's been.
Yeah, there's a lot of gray area with this stuff. It doesn't have to be black or white. Like, as a Dolphins fan, I get it with Tua. Like, the hardcore Dolphins fans are like, oh my God, this guy is the MVP of the league. Look at his accuracy. He's incredible. Then you have the haters out there. They're saying, they should get rid of him. He shouldn't be a starter. The truth often lies somewhere in the middle. Brock Purdy, he's not elite. I don't think he's really great, but he's a good quarterback. Same thing with Tua. He doesn't stink. Have you looked at the state of quarterback play in the NFL right now? There's not a whole lot of elite quarterbacks. So, okay. So
let's add to that real fast, Joe. I do want to add to that. So I might have mentioned it before, but there's this sense within the football. And that's what this is all about. That's why everyone loves the NFL, because we all have our opinions and everything.
Sure.
If Tua stinks, Josh Allen's a turnover machine and you can't depend on him. I don't know who else you want to throw in there. Trevor Lawrence is no good. He's a bust. All these, nobody's any good. That's
the problem. I know, right?
Are we comparing everybody to Patrick Mahomes and that's it? And Tom Brady? Like, Trevor Lawrence is a really good quarterback. Josh Allen is the second best quarterback, in my opinion, the second best quarterback in the world. You have to start to compare. You can't compare everyone to Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady. But you have to start to look at the rest of the quarterbacks and see where your quarterback lies and out of 32. And that's how you should rate somebody, not, Joe Montana, Tom Brady, and Aaron Rodgers. I just don't get it.
Yeah, you're either great or you stink. A lot of people like on the Buffalo Bills this week, and they can't get over the hump. Only one team out of 32 wins the Super Bowl every year here, right? So sometimes we got to give teams a little bit more credit. And if Lamar Jackson has a bad game, people will get on him. If Patrick Mahomes has a bad game, people might give him a bit of a leash.
They might give him a pass.
So let's talk about that quarterback topic here next. So I threw this out here Monday. I didn't have a lot of agreement. I got some pushback, a little bit of agreement. But I think if you look at the pattern of the way the Baltimore Ravens have beaten the crap out of really good teams this season, and you look at Lamar's stats in those games, he's been absolutely incredible. I think if this pattern continues, like if they stomp the Kansas City Chiefs and he has a great game and they go on to win the Super Bowl, I think that there's a chance here that he could overtake Patrick Mahomes as the best quarterback right now in the NFL. Not big picture, not looking back at their whole careers, because obviously Mahomes has the two Super Bowls. But if you look at Lamar, I think this is as most of a dual threat as he's ever been in the NFL right now. And he's never had the quality of weapons around him that he's had right now. Mahomes has had MVP tight end, one of the best ever, in Kelsey. He had Tyreek Hill for the first, 5 years of his career. So it's a lot of what ifs and things have to work out. But
Andy Reid.
And Lamar finally has a good offensive coordinator this year as well. So all that considered, do you think Lamar could possibly top Mahomes as the best quarterback right now?
Yeah, you're isolating it to this year. So, yeah, sure. Why not? He's just, I think, to your point, the dual threat of what he possesses. And I use the term often, playing above the call. And there's so much. And Lamar plays above the call. So does Patrick Mahomes and so does Josh Allen. And in the NFL, where matchups are so key and getting the right call in the right spot is so key. If you're a DC and you know what's coming and you happen to dial up the perfect, whether it's a, you know, dropping eight or sending pressure off the edge, whatever it may be, you call the perfect call. But a guy like Lamar has the ability to play above the call and still make a play. It makes a difference, because that's, you scheme up so much to get the matchups you want and to be in the situation you want. And when a guy plays the level of Lamar Jackson with the talent he has, you're right. One of the things I've been talking about this week, Joe, to add to that, and I do think that he can be, and if he's the MVP, there goes our argument. Like he's a Super Bowl MVP as well as a league MVP. I think he's got to be the best quarterback right now for this season. But, you know, Spags sends edge pressure, right? That's kind of what we've seen most. And it's mostly he's sending his slot, his nickel back. He's sending safeties, outside backers at times, but he's sending athletes. And that's to get, you know, to get Josh Allen on the ground. You want to send guys that are athletic enough in space to get him on the ground. The issue with Lamar, if you send a defensive back and you somehow scheme it up to where you get that pressure off the edge, Lamar is so athletic and he's also big in stature that you now got to get him down. Not only have you got the right call, but you got to find a way to get him on the ground, which is not easy. And I can tell you in space, it's not easy to get to not only break down, but then he's bigger than a lot of DBs. He can stiff arm you and also make a play. So just the fact that he brings that, let's see what Spags does in bringing edge pressure and DB pressure, because, you know, at times that might be a mismatch and Lamar might be able to stiff arm his way out of the tackle, and then you have nobody behind you, it creates a big play.
I can't wait. Such a great game. Okay, so let's get into your picks here. You submitted a few before we came on air, and one of them was just game total under. Is the game that for the Baltimore KC game?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it absolutely is. I mean, all jokes aside, if we look at, you know, and here's why I came to this. One of the reasons I look at the rushing numbers. I pulled up Lamar's numbers. I think on the season we looked at Lamar's rushing totals. He was around 45 yards average. His numbers for the season rushing in regards to the closing line. A bump last week in the Houston game up to 53.5 was the closing number I see here. And then right now on FanDuel it's 66.5. I mean, you know, the way I see this game, look at that. We're talking about a 20 yard bump from, you know, week 17, week 16 to this game. We all realize that, you know, Lamar and Josh, whoever else, is going to tuck it and run more. The bigger the game, the more you use your legs for a lot of different reasons. The biggest one is you know, that's an advantage. During the regular season, you don't want to get hurt, but you do whatever you can to move the sticks. Obviously, Lamar rushing is an issue. But that being said, the number is so it's so high right now, and it's been pushed so high that I think he's going to rush the ball a ton of times. His number's 10.5 rushes. I think he rushed it a ton, but that number is just, if anything, I lean under in a game where I think Lamar rushes the ball a ton. So that those are kind of counterintuitive. I mean, I think he uses his legs a ton, but the number is just too high for me at this point. I do think this game goes under. Also, Joe, feeling out process, right? Like, we know how this works. In a game of this magnitude, there's a feeling out process. Like, you know, the bigger game I played in, the more I, as a DB, you want to, early on, you want to keep everything in front of you. You don't take as many chances. I mean, I don't think that Brock Purdy, for example, in the other game, you think he's going to take shots out wide, throwing deep out routes and comebacks early? Too much pressure on him right now. I think it's easy throws, checkdowns. Just for that reason, I like the under in this game for the feeling out process, and also the strength of the Baltimore Ravens is going to be Lamar using his legs. And I don't think he has huge gains because the Ravens are big and – or the Chiefs are big and athletic in the secondary. So that's the way I see that.
Yeah, we're aligned there. I like the second half under in that game. If you guys watch the show, you know the trend I've been giving out. The Chiefs have gone under the second half total in 17 of 19 games a season. Baltimore's defense has been absolutely lights out in the second half of these games. And I do like Lamar to take off. 5 playoff games in his career, 3 100-yard games in those 5. So who knows if he'll get to that number. But worth considering. And when they are running that ball, what is happening? That clock is moving, right? So we got to keep that in mind as well. Okay, your favorite prop for this game, you think Flowers gets involved here and you like his over on receiving yards.
Yeah. Out of his 4 receptions last week, 3 of those were between the numbers, middle of the field. All the conversation and why Lamar struggled early was versus pressure. He was holding the ball too long, wasn't getting it out. You know, you look at Isaiah Likely, you look at Mark Andrews. We just don't know the snap share with those guys. So I don't right now. I don't lean maybe some in game with those guys as I see the health of Mark Andrews and see the snap share there. I might look at some in game because that would be another target area for Lamar. If you're concentrating on getting the ball out quick, Zay Flowers, that's your guy. He'll be out there almost every snap. He works out of the slot. He's great at separating. And like I said, 3 of his 4 catches, middle of the field. And I think they're going to dial stuff up. That's a priority offensively for Todd Monken to get the ball out quick, to take care of that blitz, that edge pressure that Spags going to send, and Zay's your guy.
Okay. Take the spreads out of it. Who's playing in the Super Bowl this year?
Oh, on the spot, eh?
Yeah.
Take the spreads out. Well, the spreads out, that's easy, but I'll take the 2 favorites if we're taking the spreads out. But I will take Baltimore. I do think Baltimore wins. I think Baltimore covers. I think, you know, there's a lot been said about how great Patrick Mahomes has been, and his receivers have stepped up, his weapons have stepped up, you know, recently. I don't know if I trust that moving forward. Maybe just more of a one-off and consistency. And the Ravens defense, let's not forget, the reason why they're so good is they're deep, they're long, they're rangy. That's a really good defense. So it's going to have a whole new set of problems for the Chiefs. And on the other side, I like Detroit to cover. But I mean, 7 points. I mean, I would take the Niners, but I think it's a close game.
Yeah, I like Detroit to cover too. I'd love to see them pull off the upset, but I don't know. Okay, Davis, very lively discussion today.
Are you coming to Vegas, or do you know yet?
I'm going to find out here very soon. Hopefully by the end of the week, we might be coming down. So I hope I am. I still got my suitcase right out from Toronto over there. So we'll have to fill that back up again and hopefully get down. You're going to be down there,
I'll take a pay cut to get you down there.
Okay, I like it. I will let them know, and I'll meet you right at the bar first thing. Awesome segment today, my man. Thank you very much for joining us. Best of luck with all those bets. Best of luck working the games this weekend, and we will catch you next week.
Anybody got any good stuff for us? Let us know on social. Share. We're all ears. Let's have some fun this weekend.
Absolutely. Best of luck, my man. All right. What a segment with Davis. One of our best of the year. He brought it today. A little bit of disagreement is good in this space, especially when it's not fabricated. Like, You know, when they do these shows like First Take and stuff like that, they have these meetings beforehand where they decide, okay, you're going to take this side and the other guy is going to take this side. And it's like, okay, I can create an argument for that. Sometimes it's good, but it is it's as phony as professional wrestling sometimes. Okay, 40-minute show today went a little bit longer than I thought we would, but we have a lot of good stuff to discuss. If you missed the top half, if you're interested in the NBA, I gave out Heat plus 8, Timberwolves minus 3.5, and Bulls first half plus 2.5 in LA versus the Lakers. And if you missed the first part of the show, the best thing about it is you can go right back and watch because we're here on YouTube. So thank you guys very much for tuning in today. If you like the show, hit the like button right down there. Make sure you are subscribed to the Covers YouTube channel. You're not going to want to miss anything here in the build-up to the Super Bowl. We're going to be all over it, a ton of great coverage. And then we'll start to ramp up towards March Madness after that. Get into a little NHL. And then Major League Baseball, pitchers and catchers reporting here pretty soon. It seemed like the World Series was just yesterday, but the sports world never stops and neither do we. So thank you guys very much for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow. If you're wondering where my picks are, I make all my NFL picks for the playoffs on the Friday show. So going to have, I think, 4 or 5 picks for you guys tomorrow. Been doing pretty good in the playoffs, so we'll try to keep that up. Thank you guys very much for tuning in. We'll catch you again tomorrow. Yeah.